Good evening, everyone. I'm so glad y'all were able to make it back out again on this beautiful Lord's Day. Danny and I got to go take a walk earlier today. That was lots of fun, just being out in the sun and out in the warm weather. I do enjoy warm weather over cold. I don't know about you all, but it's just so good to be able to, after having a long day, being able to get back together to worship God again. About 20 years ago, there was a movie that was released. And some of y'all might know it, some of y'all probably have seen it, called The Passion of the Christ. It's written, directed by Mel Gibson, and it's a very, you know, thought-provoking movie, and I highly suggest you watch it if you haven't already seen it. And it's a detailed movie about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And when this movie came out, there was a lot of controversy around it, you know, mostly for fear that it might incite anti-Semitic passions, but mostly because it's violently graphic. It shows the true depiction of Jesus' suffering. Without question, the suffering of Christ leading up to and including the crucifixion was terrible. In Matthew chapter 26, we can see some of the things he had to go through. Starting in verse 67, we can see that he had to go through beatings and just, you know, ridicule. Verse 66, "What is your judgment?" they answered. "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is it that struck you?" And jump over to chapter 27, look at verse 26. "Then he released for them Barabbas, having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him." This is just the beginning of what Jesus had to go through. After these beatings and this ridicule, this verbal ridicule, he was nailed to the cross. Look there in verse 33. "And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there." We could keep reading on through this story, but this is just excruciatingly painful thing to just think about. And this movie does a very good job, thought-provoking and that kind of stuff. But I want to not really talk about the actual crucifixion, but understanding more about what Jesus did for us. The cross was a shameful way to die. He was mocked by many, and he was crucified with thieves. We can read in verses 36 through 44. And while there is time to actually think about the physical pain Jesus endured, there's other things besides just thinking about that when we consider the crucifixion of Jesus. In Luke chapter 23, if you'd like to turn over there, Luke chapter 23, we see something interesting. Luke 23, starting in verse 26. Luke 23, starting in verse 26. "And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children.'" Jesus didn't want people to weep for him. He knew what he was about to go through. We could go read in the Garden of Gethsemane how he was sweating drops of blood. He knew what he was going to go through, but he did not want people to weep and feel sorry for him. They wanted them to feel sorry for themselves. His concern for others was evident even on the cross. Jump down to verse 34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. There's great significance to be learned in this lesson from Jesus' suffering. And it goes far beyond just feeling sorry for what he endured. So let's look at some of these lessons we can learn and we can tell other people about. For example, we should never forget that Jesus came here to condemn sin. Jesus suffered because of sin. And as was foretold, he died for our sins. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Look starting in verse 5. Isaiah 53, there in verse 5. Actually, I just want to start in verse 4. It starts the paragraph. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus died for each one of our sins. We can look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 3. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Jesus died for us. And this wasn't like a type of thing where God pointed to Jesus and said, "I want you to go die and you can't change your mind." This was a willing sacrifice. He gave himself up for us. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 4. Starting in verse 3, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Obviously, this was God's will. Jesus technically didn't have to go through with it, but he did so. He gave himself for our sins. And then we can see that he bore our sins on the cross. In 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The thought of what Jesus went through, how he condemned sin, how he came here on his own free will and died for us. This thought should humble us and remind us of our sinfulness and our need for redemption. Turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 8. 1 John 1, verse 8, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." When we truly think about it, we're going to understand that we need to humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness because of our sins. Otherwise, he is truly not residing with us and in us. But Jesus didn't just come to suffer because of sin and condemn sin. He also defeated evil. He condemned sin in the flesh through his death. Turn back to Romans chapter 8 again. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. And by doing so, by Jesus coming here, by living a sinless life, by condemning sin, he makes it possible for sinners to destroy their own body of sin and be united with him by baptism. Turn back just a few chapters to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Jesus did something truly amazing by coming here to this earth, living a sinless life, and then dying for us so we can be like him. Not in fullness right now, but one day, eternally, we will be. But that's what we strive to be. We can destroy our own body of sin and be united with him by baptism. The thought of Jesus, the passion he went through, the pain he went through on the cross should remind us to destroy our own sin. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 24. Galatians 5, verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let me remind you, that does not say put the passions and desires in the closet or in the trunk to keep away. Crucified. Put to death. We should put to death our sin. As you think about what Jesus did, remember that Christ came to bear our sins. And this is why we spread the good news, because he came here, he redeemed us, so we should want to share it with other people. But there's also a motive behind what Jesus came here. He didn't just come here, you know, for no reason. He had a motive, and that motive was love. Jesus suffered because of love. We can see that the Father had a love for us. Turn over to John 3:16. I could probably quote it, but I want to make sure I get it right. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Keep that in mind as we turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we can see that the love of the Father for us is great. I mean, I'm not a parent, but I know if I was, I wouldn't want to sacrifice my own child. God sacrificed his own Son for us because he loves us so much. And that's just not from the Father. Remember, this is Jesus' free choice. He loved us as well. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 2. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 2. and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus loved us. I mean, who would want to sacrifice their own life for somebody you didn't know and didn't love? Jesus loved us. As we go out and as we think about what Jesus has done for us, and as we go to talk to people who are not Christians, as we spread this good news, we should never neglect the love that was behind the fact. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verses 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is why we spread the good news. Not because we love first, but because he loves us. Jesus demonstrated what true love actually is. We can look there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. This is true love. Turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, look at verse 13. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. This is true love. This is real love. This is not Disney love. This is true love. Sacrificing yourself for somebody takes real love. And his love serves as a pattern for our love. Turn back just a chapter to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Look at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love is one of the greatest, if you want to think about it this way, evangelistic tools you can have. Just by loving one another, by showing love to one another, all people will know that we are his disciples. Isn't that really amazing to think about how powerful love really is? Turn over to John chapter 15. John 15, verse 12. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. May the pain that Jesus suffered on the cross, may what he suffered through for us by dying for our sins, remind us of the love that he showed for us and the high standard of love we are called to show towards one another. When we go out into the world and we think about what Jesus has done for us and we talk to others and about how he defeated sin and death, and the love that he showed for us by coming to the earth to die on the cross, we should also be mindful that he redeemed the world. Jesus suffered for all people. This was something that the Jews of the first century didn't really understand right away, but they got it later. Jesus suffered for all people. God desires all men to be saved. Turn back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 3 through 6. 1 Timothy 2, starting in verse 3. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. God desires all people to be saved, not just a specific group, all people to be saved. And he doesn't want anyone to perish. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Not 2 Timothy, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God wants all people to be saved. And so he offered Jesus as the propitiation for our sins. Turn again to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verses 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. When we think about what Jesus did for us, specifically, by coming here, dying for us on the cross, redeeming our and forgiving our sins and showing us love, we also need to remember it's not just about us. It's about all those people out there on this side and get that side too. All around. Everywhere you go, there's people that Jesus died for. It's not just about us. Thinking about what Jesus did for us includes thinking about the needs of the lost. Because Jesus is this world's only hope. He is the only way to the Father. Turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to the Father. And only in his name can salvation be found. Turn over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only through Jesus can salvation be found. If we deny the Son, no one has the Father. We can see that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. So we have to abide in his teachings, in his doctrines. And that way one has both the Father and the Son. We can see that in 2 John, verse 9. His passion, what Jesus went through, the pain he went through, should move us to do what we can to proclaim the message of redemption to those lost in sin. And so Jesus' suffering on the cross should prompt us to look inward at ourselves, at what he did for us by redeeming our souls and forgiving us of our sins. But it should also cause us to look outward, to address the spiritual needs of those, of others who may be lost. And you may be thinking, well, that's great, and I'll try to do what I can. Or you may be thinking, well, that's good, but how much do I need to sacrifice? What extent do I have to go to reach those? Well, good news for you. The passion that Jesus went through, the pain that he went through, also should give us an inspiration of sacrifice. Jesus provided the example of the level, of the extent, the reach we should go to save someone. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you not look only into his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus demonstrated humility. There's not even a way I could describe the amount of humility he had to put himself through to leave heaven, to leave the holiest of holiest of holiest, to come here to this earth to take the form of man. That's extremely humbling. He humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. He also showed patience. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 20 through 24. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus showed patience. He suffered patiently through the most terrible form of torture at the time. He suffered patiently. This is just two aspects of the extent you're supposed to sacrifice to reach those who are lost. When we think about what Jesus went through, about the passion and the pain and the suffering, it should move us to consider what his sacrifice should inspire us to do. Jesus' sacrifice was designed to inspire us to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Ephesians 5, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We just read in Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5, that we are to walk in humility. We just read in 1 Peter 2, 20 through 24, that we need to suffer patiently when we are mistreated for doing good. We're also to give of ourselves to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. We are to give as Jesus gave. We are to walk as Jesus walked, in love and humility and with patience. As we reflect upon Jesus, what Jesus did for us, it should inspire us to a higher plane of devotion to God and to others. Certainly, there's much more that can be said about the Passion of the Christ, both the movie, of course, but the actual act of what Jesus did for us. This is the primary message we are called to share with others. Perhaps these few thoughts can increase our appreciation of Christ's suffering. His passion is the condemnation of sin. His passion is the revelation of love. His passion is the redemption of the world. And his passion is the inspiration of sacrifice. So I'm going to ask you, have you taken advantage of what Christ has done for you? Have you been crucified with Christ? Are you putting to death the deeds of the flesh? Are you growing in love? Are you concerned and doing something about the redemption of the world? Are you doing something about your neighbor? Are you inspired to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ and those lost in the world by following the example of Jesus' sacrifice? May the passion that the Christ went through, the passion of the Christ, motivate you to obey and serve the one who died for you. Like this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:15, He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. He died and he was raised for you. Here in a few seconds, we're going to sing a song. And that song is to help you, encourage you to take that one closer step. Water is prepared. Here in a second, as we stand and sing, you can walk here to the front. I'll be standing up here. You can talk. If you're not comfortable with me, well, I'll pull Danny aside. Or if you don't like the whole commotion of coming to the front, I'll be standing in the back. Come talk to me then. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. I encourage you not to wait. If you would like to be baptized, if you'd like to be immersed, to rise to walk again, right now is the perfect time. Why don't you come to the front as we stand and sing?